The robots were on the lowest sublevel, all six of them surrounded by musty packing cases of uncertain content. They were large, extremely so, and even though they were in a sitting position on the floor, legs straddled out before them, their heads were a good 7 feet in the air. Donovan whistled. Look at the size of them, will you? The chests must be 10 feet around. That's because they're supplied with the old McGuffey gears. I've been over the insides. Crummiest set you've ever seen. Have you powered them yet? No, there wasn't any reason to. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. Even the diaphragm is in reasonable order. They might talk. He had unscrewed the chest plate of the nearest as he spoke, inserted the 2-inch sphere that contained the tiny spark of atomic energy that was a robot's life. There was difficulty in fitting it, but he managed, and then screwed the plate back on again in laborious fashion. The radio controls of more modern models had not been heard of 10 years earlier. And then, to the other five. Donovan said uneasily, "They haven't moved." "No orders to do so," replied Powell, succinctly. He went back to the first in the line and struck him on the chest. "You, do you hear me?" The monster's head bent slowly, and the eyes fixed themselves on Powell. Then, in a harsh, squawking voice, like that of a medieval phonograph, he grated, "Yes, master." Powell grinned humorlessly at Donovan. "Did you get that? Those were the days of the first talking robots when it looked as if the use of robots on Earth would be banned. The makers were fighting that, and they built good, healthy slave complexes into the damn machines." "It didn't help them," muttered Donovan.